think about the words. Worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. Give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you.
I worship you, Almighty God, there is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you.
There is none like you.
There is none.
There is none
like you.
There is none like you.
I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you.
I worship you,
O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you praise for my righteousness.
I worship
you, Almighty God. There is none like you.
There is none like you.
There is none.
There is none.
There is none.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not like you, Jesus.
There is none.
There is none.
There is no other God like me. No, you can't find one. There's no other God like me. No one will love you like I do. No one will care for you. No one will provide for you no one. No one like me. Did I not say that I am that I am? What is your name? Why are you not calling on me? Why are you not seeking after me? I have not fallen asleep. I have not left my throne. I am your Lord. There is none. There is none like me. Just worship him. Just worship him.
Thank you, Lord.
Not one can compare to Jesus. No one can even get into the same category as Jesus. Church, I'm afraid the world has it wrong. They've got people that they look to and say, he's just as good as Jesus. No. None is like him. No, not one. There's never been a book that's better than the Holy Word of God. No, there's not one. There's never been an act of faith greater than the thing that Jesus did by going to the cross. But yet in this world, we have put men and women on high pinnacles and said, what a great hero. They make movies and write books, but there's not one like Jesus. There's not a healer like Jesus. No, not one. There's not a deliverer like Jesus. No, not one. There's not one program greater than the hand of God setting somebody free. There's no greater healer that you want messing with your body than Jesus. No, there's not one. What about forgiveness? No one will can compare to the type of forgiveness Jesus has given you. Moms are good at forgiving children, but they can't compare to Jesus. Good friends and best friends might allow a few more mistakes and forgive some things in their friendships, but no, there's not one that will forgive like Jesus. Needs. You look in your Bible and you won't find one that Jesus didn't meet their needs when they let their faith rise. The only place in Scripture where Jesus could not was where they didn't believe in him. His own hometown. Oh, I don't know about you, but I believe the Holy Spirit just preached a good, strong message to us this morning. If they can give you previews to movies and trailers to show you what's to come, just get ready, because the Holy Spirit's showing us what to come. There's not one like Jesus. There's not one army. There's not one military. Woo! There's not one mighty might that can knock the hand of Jesus off the throne. Let them build their armies. Let them raise the banner of their own war. I got news for you. If you belong to Jesus, if you're standing with Jesus, guess what? Let the rockets fire. There's none like Jesus. The smartest strategy war planner out there today can't compare to Jesus. Get rid of the fear right now. Just get rid of it. Oh, thank you, Lord. Take your Bibles this morning and go to Deuteronomy chapter 31.
The message this morning is simply titled this, Stirred Up Because of the Remembrance of the Lord. Stirred up because of the remembrance of the Lord. What did he just do for us this morning? He reminded us, no, there's not one like him. Deuteronomy chapter 31, the very last verse. I want to start there and then we're going to move over to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Please stand out of reverence for God when you find that. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. Church, notice there's a song to be remembered. What's going on? Chapter 32 says, Give ear, O you heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb and the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He's worthy. Ascribe in your heart to him greatness right now. Look at verse number 4. He's my rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth. Thank you, Lord, for being a God of truth. And without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of the children. They are the perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is it not thy Father that hath brought thee? Hath he not made thee? Hath he not established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many congregations. Ask the Father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, and he set the bonds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, and beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth that he might eat the increase of the fields, and he might made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kin and milk of sheep with fat of lambs and rams of the bread of Bashan and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxed fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God. To gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begot thee, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I'll hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. Lord Jesus, I pray this morning, let us not be guilty and found as children of no faith. Let us not be children found guilty of forgetting our God, forgetting our Lord. But Lord, stir us up in the remembrance of who you are. Bring us to this place that we need to be right now this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated this morning. Stirred up because the remembrance of God. You know what it is to be stirred up. People have done it to you. You have stirred yourself up on occasion. But there's a big difference between being stirred up and being stirred up because of the remembrance of God. There's great revival fires. There's great shouting services. There's great testimonies. There's great Bible studies. And oh, how they can stir you up. But church, when you and I get stirred up because of the remembrance of who God is to you, Not who he is to the church. Not who he is to grandma. Not who he is to uncle. Not who he is to dad. Not who he is to the preacher. But when you get stirred up because of the remembrance of God for yourself, then something is on the inside of you about to break loose that nothing can stop. Because it's coming. God changed the title of this message on me about 3 or 4 different times. And he finally got it in my spirit and said, the only reason I want my church stirred up today is because I want them to remember me. Yeah. He's getting personal. Paul was somebody that knew what it was to get stirred up. In one of his last letters, when he was writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapters 1 and 2, he even used the terminology to Timothy about stirring up his faith. And he did it through remembrance of his grandmother and his mother. Thank God, if you've been in serving Jesus long enough to have about 3 generations deep in your roots. But you know what Paul was saying? He was talking to Timothy. He said, Timothy, I saw some genuine faith. I know there's something deep inside of you. It was there in your grandmother. It was there in your mother. And I'm persuaded, Timothy, that it's in you. I'm so glad that Paul used the word persuaded because he was being stirred up on the inside. He was the one who laid his hands on Timothy and said, I'll depart what is in my heart to you by the Holy Spirit that you might use in those spiritual gifts. And Timothy was witnessing Paul being in prison. But here's Paul writing to Timothy, and he starts out telling him, get stirred up. How? By the remembrance of what the Lord did in your grandma, what the Lord did in your mother. And by the way, Timothy, I'm persuaded. I'm just exercising my faith over you right now, Timothy. I'm persuaded that that same Holy Spirit and faith in them, oh, I just know it's there, Timothy. Church, I came by to tell you what the Holy Ghost has been speaking to me. He believes it's in you. You know why? Because you've sat and heard the Word of God. The Word of God does not return void, but it goes out and accomplishes that is set forth to do. It's the seed of the Holy Spirit. It's the one where in Genesis the Bible says that it was the Holy Spirit hovering over the face of the deep. So I just came by in the Holy Ghost this morning to stir up something that you might not know you still got. I just came by to preach to myself and get encouraged and get excited. Even though Paul, even though some of the church is in prison this morning, even though some of the church is in bondage this morning, even though it seems like the world is winning and taking out of the hands of the church the Bible, taking out of the hands of the church the Word of God, taking out of the hands of the church the mouthpiece, taking out of the church the gifts and the moving and the Holy Spirit, I'm here to tell you that there's some roots deep in this church. There's some things about remembering, getting back in remembering Jesus, what he did once, he'll do again. Who he once touched, he'll touch again. If it's in you this morning, he's going to stir it up by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I would have liked to have had a glass, a big glass, full of water and dumped with sugar in the bottom, and a stir stick. Just go there with me in your mind. You know, you can play around with the sugar, and you can swash it back and forth a little bit. But I'm telling you that when you get a good stirring going on in a clear glass of water, you can see sugar drops all the way up to the top. And if you stir it the way that the Holy Ghost wants to stir us this morning, oh, hallelujah, you can let go of the stir stick and it'll keep stirring. Hallelujah. What am I saying this morning? Guess what? When you leave church this morning, God's going to stir you up so much that you'll still be stirring over the Word. He'll get you back into the Scriptures. Oh, hallelujah. Praise His name. Why? Because He's bringing you back in remembrance of Him. Forget about the person preaching the message. Forget about who's sitting beside you this morning. And remember Jesus. He's the power. No, there's not one like Him. If you came with pen and paper this morning, I want you to jot something down that you can study on your own. This is just something God did for me. I'll share it. I want you to write down the word stir, S-T-I-R. Hallelujah. I'm believing God's going to stir this place and stir you and me together Praise God. S-T-I-R. The S. Strong. The T is turning. The I is inward. And the R is revival. S-T-I-R. Strong, turning, inward, revival. Strong, turning, inward, revival. How is the church going to be in revival? Number one, you're going to have to be strong in the Lord. You're going to have to get a mighty stirring. God's going to have to get down inside of you and tap on that root that's in you where you first found the Word of God that said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Get the S, get the strength of Jesus Christ in your heart. Let Him sit on that cord and be strong in your heart, and He's going to start stirring. And He's not going to stir gently. He's going to get the strong stir stick moving of the Holy Ghost in your life. The S is the strong part. Then it is the T. It's a turning. Church, you know what it says in Matthew chapter 3. John the Baptist went about preaching and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." In Matthew chapter 4, it was Jesus preaching the same message right after He had got done being tempted of the enemy in the wilderness. When He started preaching His first message, He said, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." What's He saying? Turning point. Get the strong conviction of Jesus Christ in your heart, and there will be a turning point. What's the turning point? Repentance. "Oh, I only got to do that one time." Well, if you've been messing with sin, get repentant again. If you've been not stirred by the Holy Spirit lately, get stirred again. The eye is the inward. 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah just had a wonderful breakthrough, a mountaintop experience of an explosion of the Lord just raining down and consuming the sacrifice in front of the Baal worshipers when they couldn't even get their God to do anything. God showed up. But there it was in 1 Kings 19. Here comes the inward. It wasn't the wind. It wasn't the earthquake. It wasn't the fire. It was the still small voice. We got to get out of the circus church. We got to get out of blow the hot wind and get somebody excited to where they'll stand up. Stop getting caught up in all of the greatest praise theatricals. Church, we got great praise going on in this church. If your heart will sing, if you will allow the Spirit of God to use your voice and use your hands and use your spirit to glorify God, we don't have to have a 200 mass choir. We don't have to have 20 different instruments playing. But if you come with the sound of rejoicing in your spirit, God will receive our praise. There's a lot of circus church going on, filling up church houses because the stage is full. If they've got Holy Ghost anointed praise, I pray that God put 200 people in every church to praise Him. Then if it isn't the wind that's drawn them in, it's earthquakes. Oh, let's see how much noise we can make in the community and advertise and shake this town and tell them about the big blowout experience we're going to do. That's fine. But when you advertise that, you better back it up by the Holy Spirit, knowing that He called it and led it and orchestrated it and said, "I'm in it." Because He wasn't in the wind and He wasn't in the earthquake. Everybody likes fire. Go to some rock and roll show. Pyrotechnology. They blow things up. No, scratch that. Don't go. It's evil. Stay away from it. It's poison. If you want a good action program on TV and movie, just blow something up. I'm guilty. I like action movies. But it wouldn't be an action movie unless they blew something up. Do you know what? There's people coming to church saying, "Something's got to get blown up or I'm not coming back." Circus church. You know what God wants to do? He wants to do the still small inward work of the Holy Spirit working where He can speak to you right now while I'm preaching. He can be having you on something in the Holy Spirit right now, and He can simultaneously speak to every heart in this place right now. Elijah had to learn it. Still small voice. Well, God, that's not That's not very popular. We don't want the still small voice. I'm not sure that'll draw a crowd, God. Oh, yeah, it will. What it'll do is it not only will draw the crowd, but it will get the crowd out of the people. You'll slip in the back door and sit down on a back bench somewhere, and the Holy Ghost will move in the message, and there won't be no lights and glitter and any of those things going on, and all at once the Holy Spirit will say, you're in the right place. Today's your day. And you start feeling the pressure of life pull off. Your heart might start to beat a little bit faster. Knuckles might be grasping at the bench in front of you. I've been there. It wasn't no shout and bang show that got me there. It was when I was sitting in the bench somewhere and the Holy Spirit started talking. So my prayer this morning is, Holy Spirit, start talking. Because church, we don't have a storeroom full of dynamite. But we got the one who can bust us out. Holy Spirit. He'll do it in a still small voice. Inward. Inward. Where's revival? Jude 1. Build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You can't have revival without the Holy Ghost. You can't have revival until it starts building somewhere inside you. God doesn't just spring revival on a church just because He says it's time for revival. God allows revival to flow out of the hearts of everybody that's being built up by the Holy Spirit of praying to the point that it's stirring. You know what that prayer is about? It's stirring. Remember the stir stick. I needed my visual aid to help me this morning. But I believe y'all got great minds and it won't leave. You'll remember the glass. You'll remember the sugar. You'll remember the stirring. If you go into your prayer closet and build yourself up on your most holy faith, you do that in praying in the Holy Spirit. You know what God's going to begin to do? He's stirring up revival. Nothing's going to stop it. It's coming. It's coming. John 14 is where you can read about the Holy Spirit being the comforter. Now, God really checked my heart on this. I've heard this all my life. The Holy Spirit's my comforter. He's my counselor. He's my guide. I believe that. But you know what I did when I wanted to be comforted? I just wanted Him to tell me it's going to be okay. Let me tell you, the Bible also says the Holy Spirit is the one of truth. Let me remind you that the Holy Spirit is the one who is going to not speak of His own authority, but what God says. Come on now, you know some comforters out there that it don't matter what you did, they're just going to put their arm around you and say, it's okay. No, it's not always okay. The Holy Spirit is going to comfort the heart. He's not going to just comfort the emotions of who we are. When He really starts comforting us, He's going to start stirring something up on the inside and say, this is the thing that's causing you discomfort. I am the power of the Holy Ghost. I am the Spirit of truth that God has sent upon you. And you must deal with this thing if you want me to comfort you correctly. He shook me up. How wonderful it is to come into the house of God and sit down and let your brothers and sisters just hug on you and love on you and say, you know what, you're going to get through. Maybe not if you don't let the comforter deal with it. He'll stir us. You know what else He does? He teaches. You know what's wrong with the counselors of the world today? They don't teach nothing. They just listen. They let you spill your beans, and then they charge you double for your beans. You know what the Holy Spirit will do? When you get in a counsel session with Him, He'll begin to teach you how to love somebody again. He'll begin to teach you how to forgive somebody again. All we're doing in the counseling affairs of this life is trying to put a band-aid on something that ain't right. But when the Spirit of truth gets in, He'll teach you the things of God. If you want revival, guess what? The counselor, the comforter has got to show up inside the church and begin to have the permission to do his work in the pulpit and in the back and the balcony and in the hallways and Sunday schools and in the driveway. So we have to ask ourselves, do we want this comforter that Jesus promised? He said, I would not leave you. I would not forsake you. If I go and prepare a place, I'll come again. He said those things. And he said, I won't leave you as an orphan. I will send to you yet another helper. You need to see your Bible as a helper. Help you stop from getting in the mess. If you'll read between the pages, you can avoid a lot of things. Go into the text. Go back to Deuteronomy. Chapter 32. I'm going to give you an opportunity to jot some things down. I said in the message this morning, S is strong. In chapter 32 of Deuteronomy, five times, Christ is referred to as the rock. What is a rock? Number one, it gives stability. Unless you build your house upon this rock. If you want stability in your life, you need the rock. And then the other thing about rock is it is reliable. The rock is unmovable. The rock is going to stay. It gives you stability and it gives you reliability on Him, the rock. I told you that the T is turning. I want you to look at verses 5 through 10 and listen to the turning. Listen to why they need to turn. It's the call to repentance. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of His children. Can I remind you what the Bible tells us? That God is returning for a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. The word spot right there in your Bible means that there's a mark on their life that is not symbolic of the children of God. Something is off the mark. Something is not right. And God says, I don't recognize them as my children because I see the spot. They've corrupted themselves. They're perverse and a crooked generation. Do you thus requite the Lord? Foolish people and unwise, is not He thy Father that hath brought thee? He's made thee. He's established thee. Come on now. Remember who God the Father is. The title of the message is getting stirred up because of the remembrance of God. You and I did not create ourselves. You and I did not put life in our body. You and I did not set our future. You and I have not given us the ability to live. But God did that. He's your Heavenly Father this morning. Are you going to turn back on Him, the one who made you, the one who called you to be in His likeness and image? That's a foolish way. So the scriptures are calling us back. 7 says, remember the days of old. Now I'm going to preach a minute here. People's all the time looking for something new. There's so much change in the world today, in the secular world today. They're changing so much they can't keep up. Kids are graduating out of college, and by the time they get a job, they got to go back to college because the technology is changing too fast. There's something to be said by the Word of God to remember the days of old. But here's the problem that the church does. We get happy in remembering the days of old, but we're not being stirred up to do any new thing of God. We just want to reminisce. Both are wrong. The world changing so fast that they won't even let God in. And the church remembering the old things and the old days and the old ways and forgetting to be stirred up in the remembrance of God to see the new work of God in the next generation. Both are wrong. Consider the years of many generations. If you want to know where you're at, if you're a little bit older in the church, You're known as the fathers. You're known as the elders. Those that have been in the Word of God for a while, you're the elders of the church. What your job is to do is remind the young generation by being stirred up, not by lecture, not by dictating, not by wishing they would change, but when you're stirred up in the Holy Ghost, I'm about to preach something here, when you're stirred up in the Holy Ghost and you're one of the elders and you're one of the old saints of God that's seen it on the altars long ago and remembers the fire of Jesus burning bright in the church, then the stirring up of your soul has got to get so excited that it's going to be contagious on the next generation. Oh God, stir us. Because we got a lost generation. When the Most High divided the nations and their inheritance, He separated the sons of Adam and set the bonds of the people according to the number of children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is His people. Church, hear this. You are God's. You belong to Him. He purchased through His own blood and said, "That's my child." You want to be His child. Down along verse number 10, let me tell you where you were found and where I was found. You didn't find God, God found you. You were found in the desert. A wasted, howling land. Wilderness. That's where you were found. That's where I was found. Somewhere in the gutter of life. It's where He finds His lost sheep. You know what He does when He gets them? He leads them. He instructs them. And He keeps him in His sight as the apple of His eye. You ought to be rejoicing right there, because God took something out of the wilderness. God took something out of a howling, wasted life and lifestyle and said, "This is a jewel to me. And when I polish it up, shines like an apple in my eye." Don't ever let anybody tell you you're worthless. Don't ever let anybody tell you that God didn't have anything in store for you. Oh, yes, He did. You're part of the apple bunch. Turning. You got to read those scriptures and make a decision. Am I turning back to God? Read verses 11 and 12, because now you're going to get the inside. An eagle stirreth up her nest. Church, I want you to be an eagle inside the nest. Here's the Holy Spirit fluttereth over her young. Think about Jesus. Spreading abroad the wings and taking them and beareth them on her wings. You know what the church needs is they need to get on the wings of Jesus and start soaring above the problems and get an eagle's eye view of what God's doing. Because until you get in the sky and start flying, all you're going to see is the garbage on the sidewalk. And you're going to kick the can that's been kicked by everybody else. But God said, "I found you in the desert. I found you in a howling desert, dry wilderness. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to treat you like an eaglet in the eagle's nest. And I'm going to stir it up." The eagle stirs up the nest. There's nothing around. You know where the eagle is? They live in the desert. They live and thrive in the wilderness. Stop being discouraged when the devil shows you that you don't got nothing in your hands. Just tell him, "Hey, you know what? God's making me an eagle. I'm in the desert right now. Leave me alone. I'm learning how to get inward on the inside of Jesus. And my Father God's going to stir me up and show me how to spread out and fly. But right now what I got to do is just be an eaglet and let him pick me up and put me on his wings and send me on a high-flying, soaring event so that I can get a bird's eye view of what heaven's going to look like. It's going to be streets of gold. It's going to be the walls made out of pearls, the gates made out of pearls. It's going to be mansion after mansion. It's going to be no darkness at all, no sickness, no death." Hallelujah. Praise God. You're going to get your sight back. You're going to get everything that you lost back. God's got a great vision. He's ready to get you soaring again. Stop looking at this mess on this earth. God's preparing us to go home. Tell him in your prayers, God, put me on your wings. I want to see this. Thank God that the eagle never pushed the babies out of the nest without first taking them out and showing them something. This is what you can have. See, right on my wings right now. And then I'm going to turn you loose to be an eagle to fly. But it starts by being inward. It starts by being in the nest. Church, we've had too many eagles jump out of the nest before God said, stop leaning on my wings. I don't care what age you are. If you've jumped out too soon, you might be domesticated. You might not know that you're supposed to be in the wilderness and fly. You might be one of them city eagles. Got used to Walmart and McDonald's. Public transportation. And the eagle's out there in the desert all by itself flying around saying, I'll find where the food's at. I'm going to get the best meal. And I'm going to be above the storm. You remember that an eagle can fly above the storm? God will take you above the storm. Oh, I want to preach more. But I want us to take communion this morning. And I want you to come back too. So if I preach too long, you might not come back anymore. Hallelujah. I got to give you this. Let me close. I didn't get to preach to you about getting honey out of the rock. And I didn't get to preach to you about the flinty rock, oil and fire. But you can go there. The Holy Spirit's a good Holy Spirit. He'll tell you about it. If you want to know, he'll show it to you. Drop down in your Bibles in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Look at verses 15 through 20. I'm going to close in this, and then we're going to take communion. While I'm reading this, I want to tell you how we want to take communion this morning. Every able body, willing and obedient, that would come and stand in this altar, I want the sacraments passed out here because God's going to stir something up. If you need a healing, I'm praying for healing and deliverance. If you need a breakthrough financially, God's already beginning to minister to that. While we're taking the blood, while we're remembering the things of Jesus, I believe things are going to snap and take place in the spirit life. So I want you to be prepared to be coming up to this altar this morning for communion. We'll just open up the trays and the ushers can stand there and pass them out. But read this in closing with me. Verse 15. Jeshurun, that's a pet name for Israel, waxed fat and kicked. If you won't hold it against me, I'll just tell you they got to be like spoiled brats right there. God had provided everything. You got to read 12, 13, and 14. He was riding them on the high places. They got to eat. They got the milk from the sheep. They got the butter. They got the fat of the lambs. They were just riding high. But you know what? When good things come, what we tend to do, we wax fat in our spirit. And we start kicking like little babies. We get thick-hearted. We're covered in this sick fatness of life. This is what causes God to get jealous. It says they forsook God, which made him. See, it does not matter the hottest 10 sermons you hear. If you can't get stirred up because of the remembrance of the Lord alone, that's going to stir God up. Because what he wants is he wants you. What they ended up doing is they turned their backs on God and started worshiping false gods. And the Bible even brings out demonic devils. Some people think that worshiping other things is just a superstition. But I'm here to tell you that if you put something before God, you're worshiping a demon and a devil. And you need to be careful of what you're doing. They turned their backs on God. What it did, it provoked them to jealousy because they were turning their backs and they worshiped strange gods. Verse 19 says, when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and his daughters. Not only were they doing it, they were provoking each other to do it. how horrible it is when somebody chooses to sin and then they take another one out of the church and say, why don't you sin with me? Why don't you go with me? You know, sin and misery, they do like company. Somebody else is going to be trying to get pulled out of the rings. God does not like that when children are stolen out of his flock. He said, I'll hide my face from them and I'll see what their end's going to be. You know, if you've read your Bible, what the end's going to be without God. It says, for they are very froward, perverse generation. You know what a perverse generation is? A generation that will not let God's word speak and keep him in their heart. A generation that will not be stirred up for God. They just stay flat-lined. Doesn't matter if you preach. Doesn't matter if you sing. Doesn't matter if the Holy Ghost shows up. It's just going to be a flat line. God wants a stirred up church. It closes it out like this. The forward and the perverse generation is children that have no faith. I don't believe in coming to the altar anymore. I don't believe in the blood of Jesus and the broken body of Jesus. I don't believe that those things mean anything to me anymore. Church, that's where we're missing it, because we need to remember again. It is the blood of Jesus that provided your atonement for your healing. It is the blood of Jesus that has caused you to be able to ever know what it is to be relieved of any headache symptom, any foot problem, any backache, any time you've ever felt comfort. You know who gave that to you? The Holy Spirit and the Lord. You know who wants you to stay sick and hurting all the time? The enemy. He'll never come around and relieve your pain, but Jesus will. So what I want to do is I want to call for the ushers again this morning. Come up here, please. Open up the sacraments before the church, and I want the church to get ready to come. We're going to take communion. Knowing that the Bible tells us, do this in remembrance of me. Who? Remembrance of Jesus. Now, when you come this morning, whatever it is you have need of, we're going to pray this morning while we're taking communion, while we're taking the blood of the Lamb and the body of Christ. Would you come right now and begin to receive? Just come and take the elements and just stand along the altars. Could you go ahead and put a little soft music on, please? I'm going to be using the elders and the saints of old this morning to help in this altar this morning. We're going to take communion together. Hallelujah. What a beautiful sight. God's going to stir up some gifts in people again this morning. See, I know that many are filled with the Holy Spirit. God wants to use you this morning. Don't realize how many people you have in church until you get them together in the altar. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's begin to prepare your hearts this morning. He's your Father. He's your Lord. He understands pain. He understands needs. Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I want us to pray before, and then I want to instruct you how we're going to pray after. This prayer right now is about preparing your heart. Let Jesus stir you. Would you just bow your heads this morning? Lord Jesus, we come before you, instructed of the Holy Word of God, that when we do this, we do it in remembrance of you. God, may it be a personal thing this morning that causes a stirring in our spirit. Not that we just hold on to the memories of something that once was, but God, the remembrance of you right now. Remembrance of you is not only what you did on Calvary, but remembrance of you is where you're sitting right now, the right hand of the Father. Search our hearts, Lord. We need to repent. We need not forsake you because you're our hope. So I'm praying this morning that everyone that's here taking this communion would have a clean and holy heart before you. Church, I want us to hear the word as we take this morning. I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit this morning. I'm going to call out the elders of the church, women and men. When we're done taking the elements this morning, whatever your need is, financial, healing, any kind of deliverance, I want you to just simply lift up your hand, and I want an elder in this church body to go to them, and I want somebody to pray. And we're going to release faith, and I'm going to be praying for each and every one in the things of the Lord. But I want us to do this together this morning. The Bible says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and he blessed it and he broke it. Say that again. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and he broke it. If you've not already broken, break the bread. He gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body. Let's eat." And he took the cup and he gave thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the many for the remission of sins." Let's drink. Now I want you that are in this altar this morning that have something that you're believing God for, I want you right now to just start slipping up your hands right in this altar. Just hold it up for a minute. Elders, let's find somebody to pray for. Women of the church, find other women. Men of the church, find other men. You can get in groups. If you've got to pull two or three needs together, pull them together. Keep your hands up if you need somebody to pray with you this morning. Get in these prayers. And church, I want to encourage you, don't be bashful in your praying this morning. Stir up and let the Holy Spirit pray in you. Let the word of your spirit be heard before God this morning. I believe this morning God's been doing something. I believe in the stirring and the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Begin to just trust Him right now, whatever your need is. I want you just to stand in your faith this morning. Reach out and believe. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you right now. Lord, it's the stirring of our faith. Lord God, you're going to remind us when we're there. You're going to remind us, Lord, even before surgery, that my blessing and my covering is in the name of Jesus. Lord, as the blankets cover our bodies, Lord, so will your word. So will your healing begin to cover over vessels. Thank you, Lord God, that this body is being restored by the power of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that what the enemy meant to destroy, God's going to do some great works with. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, for your touch and your anointing and your blessing. Lord, stir the faith and cause believing and cause release in the name of Jesus, I pray. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, that there be power like no other power in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That inside the heart, Father and God, you've been created an eagle. Hallelujah. On the inside of the spirit, Lord God, someone that's going to soar to the heights that you've called him to soar to, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus, that you'll be with him, Lord, never leaving him nor forsaking him, Lord. Hallelujah. Revealing the truth of who you are, letting him know, Father God, that it's not over, but it's beginning. Hallelujah. Lord, that turnaround is in the midst. Hallelujah. Breakthrough, Father, is in the name of Jesus, and we receive it by your blessing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Continue to pray for those that need to be prayed for this morning. Hallelujah. Get stirred up and let the fire of God begin to move. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, you know the need right now. Hallelujah. Lord, you know the heart. Lord, you know the spirit of this person. Father, you know what's going on inside and outside. But Lord, I pray a stirring. I pray a Holy Ghost stirring. I pray, Lord God, that there be excitement. There be energy. There be strength, not because of anybody else, but because she remembers who God is to her. Who God is to show up in her life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank you, Lord Jesus, right now for your divine touch. I thank you, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, that you'll use a vessel that's willing. You'll use a heart, Lord, that opens up to you, Father God. Father, you can touch the arms. You can touch the legs, the wrists, the back, the neck, Father God. Hallelujah. I give you praise for these things, Lord. Relationships belong to you. You can heal and mend all relationships, Father God. Hallelujah. I praise you for that. In the name of Jesus, stir up her spirit, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Stir it up in her life and let her rejoice in the things of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you just begin to pour out your blessing. Father, it not be anything but a stirring of the Word of God. Lord, let it not be anything but a stirring of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Over the ministry in the heart, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Strength comes in you. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord God, turning comes in you. Hallelujah. The inward sitting in the nest and waiting on you. Lord God, you work on us there, but revival is coming. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, as we began to build it up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, let there be revival fire. Let there be anointing and breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I begin to thank you, Father. Hallelujah. No turning back. Hallelujah. Just going ahead in the things of God. Hallelujah. Shaking off the past and those things that once destroyed, and looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we give you praise right now, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The power of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, stir it. Stir it, Lord God. Stir the Holy Spirit working right now in the precious name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you stirred in the Holy Ghost? Has he been doing it? Hallelujah. Church, I believe God's not going to let us go without stirring us. He loves you too much. Stand to your feet this morning. Let him keep stirring you this day. If you still need a touch from God, reach your hand this way. Stretch it toward heaven. And I want every elder that's ever been touched of God. I want every believer that's ever experienced the blessing of Jesus Christ. I want you to pray out for your sister and your brother. Stretch your faith. We're going to be dismissed. Right now, Holy Spirit. Right now, Lord Jesus. Stir us. Stir us, Holy Spirit. Stir our faith that we won't be a generation that God only watches and says, let me see what their end's going to be. A generation with no faith. Let it be a generation that says, I've got faith and I believe what God did yesterday is a God that can do it today. If He could fill up the altars with revival and shouting and rejoicing then, He can fill up the altars again by the remembrance of who God is and nothing else. Bring us back to remembrance. Bring us back worshiping and praising. Let the church say, I am blessed. Every day I live, I'm blessed. When I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Hallelujah. We started out with a hand clap of praise. Go out the same way. Give Him a hand clap on your way out the door. And hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise His name. If you can make it tonight at 6 o'clock, I believe the Holy Spirit will be here waiting on us. Read your bulletins. Check your calendars. We've got much going on. Wednesday nights are play practice time for church. We will still have a Bible study. Be part of one of them. Be in the Bible study or be with us in the Christmas program. God bless you. Thank you for being in God's house.